Every time somebody says you can lose your salvation, it's just, I'm not mad at you. It's just you don't understand. You understand who you are. You don't understand your relationship with Christ. Because it's a gift. What does Ephesians say? For it is by grace you have been saved. Through what? Faith. It is a what? Gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. So it says it's a gift. You know, and I think of all the people that Jesus went to, and we studied a lot about. How about the man that was laying at the pool for 38 years, who was lame, who was waiting? He was waiting on a man to save him. You know, that's a whole other topic. Today we're looking at, you know, we're looking for a man to save us. You know, well, we're already saved. The man's already come, and he's already paid that way. His name is Jesus. We don't need to be looking at politics anymore. You know, they're fighting about the same stuff all the time. But anyway, the man was saved and met Jesus and took up his bed and walked. What good works had he done? He couldn't do anything. He's laying there decrepit. He can't do anything. How about the woman with the issue of blood that had been struggling for years and was continually just bleeding, had spent all her money on doctors and physicians. Nobody had an answer. And she says, if I could just touch his garment, what good had she done? How about the Roman centurion that came and just said, say the word, my servant is sick, just say the word. Never have I seen such greater faith, right? So when you read through the Bible, it's nothing's by works. And what I want to tell these people is, show me your works. Show me your works, what you're counting on, because I'll show you my work. He hung on the cross. Jesus Christ, that's my work. That's my faith. That's what I'm counting on. Amen? It is finished. It's amazing that Jesus said to the thief on the cross, some of his last words he ever spoke on earth was on the cross, was the thief on the cross. Today you will be with me in paradise. We don't even have to use that as a reference. We can go to so many other references where you were saved by faith. Abraham, his faith was accounted to him, and he's looking forward to Christ. And so we're going to continue into John, and we're going to continue, and we left off last week. I'm going to get my little peepers here where I can see. We left off last week talking about doing the work of God. So how do we do the work of God? Well, John tells us, or actually he quotes Jesus here. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God that you, what? Believe in him who he has sent. And you're sitting here talking to him. I am the one who was sent. And that's the work of God. But religion has got us all tied up in doing all this stuff that doesn't matter, doesn't count. Yeah, it's good things. Can we do good things? Yeah, we can do good things. But why are we doing good things? It's because of who we are. It's not because we're trying to get points to get into heaven, or it's not because we're trying to get better and become better. There's so many theologies out there that say, well, we're becoming more and more Christ-like as we progress. Guys, we're not progressing. We have been redeemed. We are already sanctified by his blood. There's no progress to be made. You know, I remember my grandmother. She was 86 years old in Greenville, South Carolina. I remember something she said to me. This was 30 years ago. She says, Charles, the older I get, it doesn't come any easier. It's more difficult. I'm like, what are you talking about, Grandma? You don't have any sin in your life. It's my grandma. She's 86 years old. She taught the women's Sunday school class at the First Baptist Church, Dunning Village, Greenville, South Carolina. And I'm like, my grandma's a saint. How can she sit here and say it's even more difficult the older I get? And then I realized, you know, she understood the struggle. She knew the struggle. And we continuously struggle in this life, but we walk by the Spirit that is within us, and that's how we do good things. It's not because we're trying to get points. So John says, what the work of God is that you believe in him who he sent. Can we do that? Can we do the work of God? Yeah, we can just believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he is. He's the Son of God. He is God. And we go from there, and he says, so they're still not satisfied. Now listen, they've seen him feed the 5,000. They've seen him turn, or at least heard of. John 6, yes. Juan says. I can speak a Spanish. A little bit. Yeah, so John 6, I'm sorry, verse 29. We started at 29. John 6, 29. And we were talking about what the work of God is that you believe. So if anybody says, hey, you know, what's the work of God? Are you doing the works of God? Yes, I'm believing. And what got everybody so riled up on TikTok the other day was I said, you can't walk away from him. He's got you. You're secure in him. Oh, you can walk away from him because it says he who endures to the end will be saved. Not just anybody, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Yes. How do we endure? Through him? He's the only way we endure. How many people followed him to the cross? How many? We're gonna endure. We're going to be faithful? No. His own beloved disciples weren't even faithful. In fact, Peter, when confronted, said, I don't know the blankety blank man. Three times. Nobody can do what he did, but yet we want to try to think we can. And so the work of God is to believe. So now they're still looking for a sign. What does that tell you right off the bat? If you've seen, Paul, you've seen somebody walk on water. You've seen somebody heal a lame man. You've seen somebody change the water to wine. You've seen all these miracles. You've seen the 5,000, feeding the 5,000, and you're still not believing? What planet are you from? And I think this is because they're just so adamant about their position. How many times do you see a religious person get so adamant about their position because it's what they've been told, it's what they've been brought up with, and they're not humble enough to question it. They're not humble enough to, let me see, God, have I got this correct? Let me pray this through. Let me study the word myself. Don't believe me. Don't believe any other pastor. Don't believe any other church. Believe the truth of what God is saying in his word. Study it for yourself. How many people here like to be deceived? I don't. I hate it when somebody tells me a lie. And actually, it makes me mad. I'm like, why did you lie to me? You deceived me. You know, so Jesus is saying here, that, so they're saying, what then do you do for a sign that we may see and believe you? Now, he's already done all these signs. They're asking for another sign. And this is kind of funny. What work do you perform? As if they want to see him perform. As if he's some kind of circus animal. Perform for us, Jesus. You know, do some miracle. Do another miracle because they still don't believe. And the reason they don't believe is because they can't wrap their mind around the fact that Jesus is from Nazareth. No good thing comes out of Nazareth. And that he was born, a lot of them say he was born in sin because they accused Mary of having premarital sex. And it goes down the road and all down the road. And they refuse to believe, and they're not catching what Jesus is saying. Now, watch this. Verse 31. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Did you hear that? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Let me ask you, what did Jesus just do? Not even a chapter, in the same chapter here, a few verses back, what did he just do? Fed 5,000 people. This is laughable. Well, our fathers, they ate the manna and the bread, you know, that God gave us. I'm sorry, I just fed 5,000 people. Did you miss that? Did you miss that? Think about this. Moses wrote of Jesus, right? In the Old Testament, God did what? When they fled Egypt, parted the waters. In the New Testament, he walked on them. In the Old Testament, God fed them the manna. In the New Testament, he fed them the 5,000, and now he's going to really dial it in for them. Let's dial this in, guys, and don't miss this. He's going to dial it in, and he says, I am the bread of life. I am. Ooh, now we're dialed in, Jesus. Now we get it. You're speaking spiritually. You know, he's going to tell them, don't seek this food that's going to make you hungry again. How many people here are hungry? I'm hungry. I'm getting hungry. I smell that lasagna cooking back there. And Maria started it this morning when she started it, this cooking lasagna for breakfast, because I hadn't eaten breakfast. I'm like, maybe I might sample some of that before we go to church. But yeah, so we get hungry physically. And God is saying, look, let's think a little deeper here. You know, I'm going to give you the bread that you never hunger again. I'm going to give you the water, ma'am, at the well, that you never thirst again. He's talking spiritually, and he's trying to dial everybody into this concept. That a lot of stuff he says, later on he's going to say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Ooh, that's rough. And they're still thinking in the physical. They're still thinking figuratively, and they're going to walk away. And they're going to miss it. So, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And that's just so laughable to me, because he had just fed the 5,000. Don't you see the correlation, guys? Y'all don't see the correlation? You're still missing it. In the Old Testament, he parted the waters. He just walked on the waters. They couldn't figure out how he got across the lake. Well, there wasn't a boat. Well, how'd you get over here, Jesus? I just kind of walked across the water. Wow. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, Moses has not given you the bread from heaven. He's going to spell this out to them. Moses didn't give you the bread. Well, who gave it to you? But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Here we go. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Some of them are getting it. Some of them are starting to get it. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the I am of the I ams. He's the I am that we ever needed. He's the I am that, of every moment in your life. He is the I am that continues and continues and continues to give exceedingly abundantly more than we could ask or ever think. He is the I am that's with you in the darkness. He's the I am that brings you into the light. He is the I am of your world, the universe, of everything ever made or created. He is the great I am. When you're looking for something, just say, where are you, I am? Because I need you here. And he's with you. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. That's a good God. But religion has lied to us and told us it's a bad God. His wrath is upon you if you don't do certain things and live your life a certain way and give certain things to the church and do all this, whatever. He's a good God. He's a loving God. We say it every Sunday. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. What does repentance mean? It means changing your mind about who he is. He's a good God, not a bad God. He's not out to get you. Well, and I always say this when I say he's not out to get you. Well, he is out to get you. But he wants to save you. Get you. Not put you in a box, put you in timeout, and beat you up. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Verse 35. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Like I said, he is that I am. He is that I am. I am everything you've ever been looking for. I'm everything you ever sought for in your life. I am the fulfillment of all your hunger, and I'm the fulfillment of all your thirst. I am that I am that I am. I always have been, always will be. I am the Lord God Almighty, holy and righteous forever. I am that I am. I don't need to explain anything else about myself. If you search me diligently with all your heart, you will know me. And knowing him is the ultimate success in our life, is to know him. If you know him, you have become successful in life. You have become successful far beyond anything else, because now you have eternal life. You will never die. He that believes in him will never die. My dad's about to die physically, but he's going to just transition. It's like he's here, and he's going to step over into the glory. Ooh, I'm a little jealous. I'm a little like, whoa, Dad, wait, take me with you. You know, we're eager. Paul said, I'm eager to depart and be with the Lord, which would be far much better. But I want to stay here and help you guys see who he really is. He's a good God. He's a forgiving God. He's a graceful God. He's a merciful God. He loves you. If you ever think somebody doesn't love you, read your Bible and look at the love he has for you. You're always loved. Always. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me, and here he says it, will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. What I got to do? Believe. I can do that. I can rest in that. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. I wouldn't want to be this guy. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. Okay, all you people that think you can lose your salvation, what did he say? All that comes to him he will never cast out. And I feel bad for people that are struggling with this, because I struggled with it a little bit early on, but not a lot in my life. I always knew God had me, even when I was at my darkest moments in life. Even while I was in like willful sin, God says, you're still mine. I still love you, and I'm going to bring you through this, because I got something better for you. I got a life more abundant for you. And as soon as you let go of this garbage, I'm going to bring you into it. And sometimes we got to do that. We got to realize, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll is a bunch of garbage. We got to enter into the good things. We got to start eating the meat now. We had the little appetizer. We just start eating meat. We got to start understanding who we are in him. Who we are in him is a good and righteous person that wants to do good and righteous things. Had another comment on TikTok the other day. Oh, you're just telling me, oh, I can do anything I want to do. It happens every time. Every time you present the gospel, somebody will leave the church or leave the TikTok or whatever they're listening to, and they'll say, that pastor just said I can do whatever I want to do. So he put on there, I'm just going to go do whatever I want to do, pastor. And then 3 seconds before I die, I'm going to say the sinner's prayer. Ha, 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 ha. I said, good luck with that. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. We are changed. We are new people. We walk in the Spirit. We walk in love and mercy and grace. And, you know, I was talking to my brother years ago, you know, becoming more Christ-like. What is that? What does that mean? How about showing love, grace, mercy, kindness, compassion? How about becoming more Christ-like? And how about not becoming more Christ-like? You have become more Christ-like. You are a son. You are a daughter of his. Understand who you are. It's not something you've got to strive to do. Well, I got to get up this morning. I got to think, what can I do good today? That's religion. Just go. Just walk. Talk to people, embrace people, love on people, forgive people. Show the grace of God. And he says, "All that the Father, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Now we talked about what the work of God was. What's the work of God? To believe on the one he sent, right? So let's talk about what the will of God is. Anybody, when I was growing up, I would always pray, "God, what's your will for my life? What's your will for my life? I want to do what your will is." Why is that? Why do we pray that prayer as believers? Because of what he's done for us. And we realize the awesome gift we've been given, we want to give back. Does that make sense? When someone loves you unconditionally, despite all your flaws and imperfections, you go, "You love me? Just like I am." And here's where religion will lie to you again. God don't love you like you are. But you keep coming to church, you keep praying, and you keep giving that money, and he'll love you more. Liar. Liar. While you were a sinner, he died for you. He demonstrated his love for you while you were yet a sinner. He loves you just like you are. "Well, Chuck, what about homosexuals? What about this? What about that?" He loves them. They're just caught up in a different sin than you are. How about that? So he says, "Now this is the will of him who sent me, that all that he has given me, I lose nothing." That includes you. Now how do you lose that salvation thing again? Huh? Is it getting more clear? He's the one who keeps us to endure. He's the one who's faithful to the end. He's the one that holds us. He says, "I will lose nothing, but raise it up the last day." And he says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." So we know what the work is. The work of God is to believe. What is the will of God? To believe. Wow. Can we rest now? We're going to go a little bit further into chapter 6. If we don't, we're never going to get through chapter 6. Because we've been stuck on chapter 6 for a while. Chapter 6 is a long chapter. It has 71 verses. Verse 41, "Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.'" They're grumbling about him. They don't know what to do with this guy. He's not fitting into their religion. He's not fitting into their traditions. He was born on the wrong side of the tracks. You younger people don't know what that means. But to us, they don't, do they? But us older people, to be born on the wrong side of the tracks means you were born, you weren't privileged. You came from a bad home. You came from a place what we call nowadays a ghetto, a slum, a barrio. They would call down in South America. You came from a bad place. You had bad parents. You probably didn't even know who your daddy was. And you're showing up telling us that you are who? You are something? So they're grumbling. They were saying, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph?" Was Jesus the son of Joseph? No. No. Adopted. No, he was not the son of Joseph. They're getting it wrong here again. They're not thinking in the spirit, and they're not believing. "The son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know," as if we know your mom and dad. We know you're not that good. We know where you're from. You're from Nazareth. That's a bad place. I've said it before. It's like saying you're from Magna. And I don't say that. I say that loosely because John and Eliana have a house in Magna. But Magna's not what it used to be. Magna, when I was a drug agent, Magna was the place where, you went over there with two or three guns. And there was a lot of stuff going on. But I'm not knocking any place. I'm sure there are wonderful people that live in Magna. But it says, how does he now say, "I have come down from heaven"? We know his mom. We know his dad. We know where he's from. And Jesus says, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And this is where we get into a theological debate again. Oh, well, the Father must not have drawn you because you weren't chosen. No, if you believe, Jesus is going to explain what this means in a few verses. The Father draws everyone. Christ said, when I am lifted up, meaning on the cross, I will do what? Draw some men or all men? All. From all nations and all tribes. And we got to quit this thinking that, oh, the Jewish people are the chosen, the elect. No, they're not. They used to be. Abraham, this will blow you away, Abraham was not a Jew. He was a Gentile from the Ur of Chaldees. He worshiped pagan idols. Abraham. And yet we make a whole theology on, well, we got to bless them. We got to bless Israel. We got to bless Israel. We got to bless them. No, God is saying you will be blessed because of his seed, Jesus Christ. All nations will be blessed. The seed of Abraham, through the seed of Abraham. All nations. So who is the chosen now? You are. Who is the elect now? You are. As a believer, you're chosen and you're elected. And all you got to do is believe. But there's going to be people that refuse to believe. And he says that all that there shall come to me, and he's going to explain this here in a second. He says, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Did it say some? It said all. God is all inclusive, guys. God doesn't discriminate based on sex, religion. He'd be a perfect EEO counselor today, would he? No, I'm just kidding. But God does not exclude people based on what culture you were born in, what color your skin is, what language you speak. God does not exclude anyone. He says all nations will be blessed in the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Not multiple seeds, seed. And all people will be drawn by the Father, and all will be drawn by Christ. The Father does drawing, and Christ does drawing. He says, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. There you go. If you've heard his voice, the Father's voice, you're going to go to the Son. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. This is Jesus. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. Here again, what have I got to do to have eternal life? Believe. It's that simple. You guys remember Aaron Rochester? Did I get his name, last name right? What was Aaron's last name? Aaron. What was his name? Rochester. I got it right. Aaron texted me the other day. And he's doing good. And he texted me the other day. He said, you know, Chuck, he says, I was listening to one of your sermons. He said, you know what I like about your sermons? You're always talking about Jesus. You're not talking politics. You're not talking about what's going on in the world. When's the world going to blow up and we're all going to be saved or raptured or whatever. You know, you're always talking about Jesus. And that's what I'm going to do to the day I die. And I'm breaking it down really simple. It says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And also the bread which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. We can close the book and go home. Hoo-hoo. Yeah. Because he's done it. He's finished it. Guys, just go away from here knowing how much he loves you, how much he desires you, how much he's never turns his back on you, even in your darkest times and your darkest moments. You know? And we can rest in that he's got us. We don't have to work to maintain a relationship with him. We don't have to work to try to please him. He's pleased with you. And I remember Psalm 139 is on my heart. 15 years ago, I'm in Colombia. We're in Cartagena. We're on a mission trip. I can't sleep. There's tarantulas crawling everywhere. The chickens are crowing at 4:30 in the morning. They got a rock band concert going on. I'm out in this little courtyard. It's 100 degrees. And I'm stuck on 139, and I'm reading. Next day, we go to this little church on the top of a hill, and the pastor gets up and says, "Open your Bibles to Psalm 139. I was already there. I had been there for 12 hours. Couldn't get off of it. And I'm like, "Okay, God, I know you're trying to tell me something. What are you trying to tell me?" And I couldn't figure it out. Till finally I figured it out. There was a prayer of Jesus in the Old Testament. "You have searched me and known me. You know what's on my lips before I speak it. You know what's in my mind before I think it. I could go to the heavens and not escape your presence. I could go to the pit of hell and not escape your presence. You're always with me. You always guide me. You always lead me. You always love me. You formed me in the womb of my mother. You created me. You saved me." How can we say no to that? And I finally figured out what God was trying to tell me. He was trying to say, "Chuck," because at this time in my life, I thought I had to do something outstanding for God for him to love me. I thought I had to go do something just crazy for God. And we were talking about going into the... I told my wife, "I want to go to the most dangerous places in the world and preach the gospel." And I had another pastor on board with me. We were crazy. And when we went down to El Salvador, I did just that. I got in the car. We have a little church developed because of this. Not because of what I did, but what God did. We get into the car with Carlitos, me and Tony, and he says, "What do y'all want to do on this trip?" I said, "Take us to the most dangerous place in El Salvador where we can preach the good news of God." And we did. And they're going, "We've been praying for two guys like you because we're kind of scared to go in this area." And here we pull into this little gang-infested slum, and we get out, me and this other big gringo, former Marine, bald-headed with a beard down to here and tattoos all over him. And all the gangsters, we didn't notice it, but Carlitos did. They started disappearing. They didn't know who we were. They were scared of us. And now there's a church in that slum. There's a church there that got planted. Amen. I'm not saying that for any other reason, just to say this is what God does when we just go out there and just follow his lead and do his thing. But we don't have to do something crazy. Like, I thought I had to do something crazy for God, for him to get his attention. "God, let me show you how much I love you." And he's like, "Yeah, let me show you how much I love you." "Let me show you how much I love you. And we'll never, ever quit trying to figure out that." Like I read in Ephesians earlier, in Ephesians chapter 3, we'll never understand the depth of his love. How long, how wide, how deep. We will never understand it. I think we'll spend eternity trying to figure it out. And we never will. Amen. God, thank you for this time to come together with everyone. Again, I pray, Lord, for everyone here, that you just touch them in the special way that only you can touch them and give them the peace that you can only give them. Fill them with faith. Fill them with your love. Fill them, show them your grace as you already have. But just pour it out more and more, grace upon grace, truth upon truth. Let us hear nothing but the truth. Let us keep our ears tuned to the truth that is in you, not in this world. Lord, we just pray that you just continually lead us and guide us as we know you do and that you will. And we pray for this Lord's Supper that we're about to partake of. In Jesus' name, amen.